Welcome to Blue Collar BS, a podcast that busts the popular myth that we can't find good people, highlighting how the different generations of today, the boomers, Gen X, millennials, and Gen Z, are redefining work so that the industrial revolution that started in the U.S. stays in the U.S.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Blue Collar BS podcast with your hosts, Brad and Steve. Perfect. Mr. Doyle, we are here sitting in late October. Fall is in the air. Hunting season for many has already started. Deer season starts here in Michigan soon in a couple weeks in Wisconsin. And pretty soon, much of the old school blue collar world will be shut down for the rest of the year because I got vacation to take and hunting to go do.
That's right. I got to put meat in the freezer.
All the young guys that have nothing, they're going to be working their asses off and all pissed off at everybody.
So,
what's today's topic, sir?
So today's topic is it's around culture and how do we actually create a culture that really people want to stay at?
Well, we send everybody out hunting and we overwork everybody that stays.
Didn't you just hear
what we just proposed there, Steve?
I did. Yeah. Just just take it all off because nobody's going to work anyways. So
we're just gonna let everybody go and do what they want, how they want, when they want, and those that are here, we're gonna punish you for being here. So thanks for showing up today.
Right. So
used to saw that all the time. It was very frustrating.
It was, but it wasn't, because once you started to see it once, you then started to, you can anticipate for it.
Plan for it.
And that for me was more the bigger thing is like you knew it was coming. So we can all sit here and complain about it, or we can do something about it.
Yeah, back when I was doing all the outsourcing, I told our shop, I'm like, guys, in September, early September.
Yep. August.
If we think we're going to have to send some stuff out for end of year to make things happen, I need it now.
Yep.
Because we have all our employees going on a vacation and hunting and things. So do all of our suppliers. Mm-hmm. So if we think we can't do it, why do we think they're going to be able to do it?
Right.
And the response was, well, because we'll pay them to do it. Yeah, that's not how it works.
Yeah, it's not how it works, because guess what? We could pay our guys to do it, but guess what? They don't want to do it. They got to put meat in the freezer.
Correct.
So, okay. Same argument can be had all the way around.
Completely agree. So stay culture.
Yeah.
So tell me more about how stay culture is defined, because that's the first time I've heard it put in that words.
Think of it as what are we doing to keep people from leaving? What is going to make someone stay? What does the culture need to look like in a business to keep people there, or to ingrain the mindset like, yes, I don't want to leave.
So we want to create an environment where people want to run towards us instead of run away from us.
Yes. Right. So we're not a job. We're not a number.
But we should all have a number that we're working towards if we're going to do like EOS or things like that from an accountability perspective. So how do we make people feel valued without necessarily seeing them as just as a resource?
That's a great question. That's a great question. And, the more we talk to a lot of our clients, the number one thing is listen more, right? As we're talking, we're really, as coaches, we're listening.
Huh? What did you say?
Yeah, exactly what I said.
We're not even married.
Selective listening only works in certain areas.
I won't tell your wife. She does. I'm sure your wife doesn't listen to the show.
She does not. No, but it really helps to, it's connections in listening. When we make the connection with people and we honestly listen, not to respond, but genuinely listen from an empathetic standpoint.
See, now you got to put a qualifier on it.
Well,
you got to put empathy as a qualifier to listening.
I didn't say sympathy. I didn't say compassion. I said empathy.
That's still a qualifier of listening.
Potentially. I mean, I can listen to understand. I don't have to listen to give a shit.
But that's not.
But I can listen to understand.
So understanding and empathy are not the same, or are you calling them the same?
I am not calling them the same.
Okay. So if I'm listening to understand, if I'm listening to understand versus listening with empathy, identify that difference for our audience, because they are different.
They are, but I'm more on the side of tactical empathy.
Right? Tactical empathy.
Tactical empathy.
Is it like concealed carry? I can't wait to hear this. I can't wait to hear about tactical empathy. This is going to be a...
Come on now. I can make up whatever I want, but actually that is something where when we talk...
Tactical empathy is a thing.
It is a thing, right? So it actually is talked about by...
Pay attention more.
you should. It is taught by Chris Voss, right? But it's the act of understanding another person's mindset and feelings to make them feel understood. It's the act. Okay.
So
I have to make...
So it's the action...
Yep.
...of... supporting the person on the other side of the table or walking next to you.
Correct.
To feel as though you give a shit.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Just from a summary perspective, I wanted to make sure that just...
Yep.
Yep. Okay. So, all right. I can understand that because I've practiced tactical... because empathy is not my strength, for those that have
not listened. Not mine either.
Might be shocked.
you have more empathy than I do.
But wow, that's weird. But that tact, and that's one of the things I know that I needed to do in order to be successful from a leadership perspective, was I didn't necessarily care about the kid's birthday party coming up on the Friday, but I'd let them tell me about it and I'd let them talk about it while we're at work.
Right.
And then I needed to make sure on Monday or Tuesday, I asked how the birthday party went. Mm-hmm. Whether it went well or didn't go well wasn't important to me because it wasn't my birthday party, but I needed to go ask the question.
Right.
And I needed to go ask it in such a way that it wasn't a check the box type feeling or an opportunity of, hey, here's the things I need to do this week. I need to go talk to Sally about this and Johnny about that and just walk around the office and check the box. That's not what we're doing here, because people will see right through that. So somehow you do need to work on creating a genuine relationship with your team members to create that culture. Even though the empathy or the tactical empathy may not, it's a strategy in a toolbox, right? There are certain things you are going to care about because you can relate to those individuals. If you don't have young kids and you want to talk about a 2-year-old birthday party, okay, great. But if you are the same age area or have grandchildren, right? Cool. Now you can talk about it. There's a connection there for an opportunity.
Right. Now, just so we'll get a couple comments, like, you know, so you guys tell us the difference between empathy and tactical empathy. So with tactical empathy, it's the act of understanding and sensing someone's emotions versus empathy. It's the ability to sense other people's emotions, right? Coupled coupled with the ability to imagine what someone else might be thinking or feeling. So, right. There's a lot more, like, we can be empathetic, but then we carry somebody's baggage when we're sensing it versus practicing tactical empathy, right? We can act to understand. I don't have to carry their emotional baggage with me.
Which one's better to create a stay culture?
That is a great question, Brad. I'm glad you brought that up. Honestly, it's what is in the eyes of the person that you're listening to. If they feel heard, they feel like you connected with them, does it matter? Because it's all about that connection piece.
So let's go. Let's just take a scenario. All right. We're going to take you as the millennial. Weird. Right.
All right.
So you're the millennial business owner.
All right.
let's just use a, we'll pick some home service repair company, maybe a drywall company, maybe a painting, maybe, maybe you're doing interior exterior painting, right? You've got your three or four folks that are with you as part of your team. You're leading this team. You are now having your morning huddle.
Yep.
Before the day gets started in the garage, in the shop, wherever, talking about stuff. And the Gen Z kid, we'll call him Aaron just for shits and giggles. So Aaron says, hey, how about we take care of, could we do this, this, and this to make it better, easier, simpler? Because I just don't like doing that way.
Okay.
You're busy. You need to get out. We got to get out. We got to make money. Got to get out the door. We don't have time for this shit.
Stop and listen.
What do you do?
Don't have time for it, but you're right. We don't have time for it.
You ain't got time for it. You ain't got time for it.
But if we don't have time to stop and listen, right?
What's the response to that individual so that they can be heard? But then when you don't take action to do the thing, like, because we're in this gratification world,
right?
We don't take the action to do the thing that was brought up at 8 o'clock in the morning that it's not done by 2 p.m. That how come we haven't changed everything? What's the scenario there?
What's the scenario?
What would be something to support that owner through those conversations so that Aaron feels heard, understood, not dismissed?
So are we going to do it or not in this scenario? Or you just want me to play it out as I would play it out?
Let's just assume that Aaron it was an idea, but it's a stupid fucking idea. Aaron, you just don't have enough knowledge or understanding of the business to go out and implement. It might be a good idea, but not right now, not ready right now because we don't have the technology. You don't have the technology because you're an old guy that wants to, or older millennial that wants to still do what dad did back in the day or whatever.
Okay.
Let's go with I have the idea. The kid has the idea, has the opportunity, but there's no way in hell you're going to implement it.
Well, that sounds pretty stubborn on me without necessarily knowing. But let's play it.
Well, it is Steve Doyle.
It is Steve Doyle. Some days Steve Doyle doesn't give a shit. So what I would say to poor Aaron is, you know, if he brought it up in a meeting and we literally ran out of time, would be, Aaron, this sounds like a good idea that you have. Let's come back at the end of the day. Yeah, if we finish early, let's come back at the end of the day and let's brainstorm on this a little bit more. Because we do actually have to get out right now. But let's circle back. I want you to circle back with me. So I'm putting the onus back on him. I want you to circle back with me so that we can discuss this further and actually brainstorm ways that either this is going to be great and we'll implement, or it just may not make sense. But let's have the time outside of this, you know, meeting, because we have to go. Let's carve out the time to actually to look at this deeper.
Okay.
Right. And if he said, okay, you know, I may put a qualifier in there. Hey, I want you to get back with me by a certain date. Could be by Thursday. It could be by Friday. You know, let's say this is Monday. It doesn't matter. Give them a date to get back to you by, but be available.
And when they don't?
It's not important to them. It's a good idea. Ooh. I may bring it back up at a later date. May bring it back up at a later date, but I'm putting more onus on them. If it's important, they will bring it back up.
But if it's not, right? So we go back through, let's go through some of the biases and the things that are there. Okay. Right?
What are the biases?
From a generational perspective, right?
Oh, wait, I forgot I was a millennial, not a Gen X.
Let's just go back through that, right? So Aaron hears it.
Yep.
Goes out there, says, hey, I got to go take care of that. The onus is on you to go forward. It's now on Aaron to come back to you to talk about his idea and his thing. He doesn't. He didn't make the deadline. And then once, and from some of the, from a Gen Z perspective, a deadline's come and gone. It's come and gone. There's not really a whole lot of let's go figure this back out again type scenario.
May not be, but he may come back and bring it back up. At a later date, fine. As an owner, I want to see who's got the drive and the initiative.
Yeah, but you're throwing so much of you into this role play versus being
Oh, I totally. But you said, hey, be the millennial. I'm not a millennial. I'm a Gen X. Let's fucking go.
But let's be honest about that. Not many leaders are going to be in that situation to say, I'm going to take the time to go do that and then make the time to make it happen. And then so why I want to play out that scenario is so that Aaron, yes, I put it out there. You're like, there's no fucking way we're going to make this thing happen ever because it's stupid. But yet you're trying to get the owner to say, yeah, Aaron, come and talk to me about it.
Mm-hmm. It may be, but I want, from a teaching moment, I want them to understand whether this is a good idea or not. I'm not going to sit there and berate somebody. No, this is a stupid idea. It's never going to work. Right? If we do that, we shut people down. It becomes no longer, hey, I can never bring something up. That from a cultural standpoint, that doesn't create a state culture, because now their ideas and opportunities, they're not able to grow. They're not able to bring things up to help give me a reason why I want to stay. No, everything I come up with is a stupid fucking idea.
I ask myself that every time we record, Steve.
And yet you still show up.
But that's the valid point here, right? Is the if you want to create the stay culture, you have to put energy and effort into it. It doesn't happen automatically. And you as the leader, you as the business owner, you as the, you know, whatever you're in charge of your team, you need to take responsibility and ownership for their perceived feelings of the situation. Whether you agree with them or don't agree with them, you need to figure out a way to get through your own demons to support their needs. I'm a firm believer that a business's opportunity and a leader's opportunity is to maximize the potential of every person you're in contact with. And if your business can support them, fantastic. If they have to leave to go continue their growth pattern because they've maxed out at your entity, that's great too. And you will have a connection for life that will never ever be lost. And I can say that for me personally, I am blessed to have to do that without knowing half the shit I know now that it's there, because I received a text. This was a while ago from a former staff member. I hired her. She put up a big fight when I first hired her, but one of the best employees I've ever had because of that initial sentence, that initial starting point. She texted me a while back with some stuff that was going on. The text I got was, "You taught me more than any class or book I'll ever read. You took the time to care when things were horrible for me. Now deflate your head and have a good night." Told me to get rid of my ego, because we were talking back and forth. I was like, she's a great person to give shit to. And it's like, okay, yeah, you can just stop now. But it's those types of texts, those types of things, those types of opportunities that we created within our own subcultures, within organizations that wanted people to come work on our team. So I understand exactly what you're saying. I was just being an asshole about it. That's all.
Anything else?
Perfect.
Perfect. And yes. Yes. So, you know, that's a great scenario. What are some obstacles that you have seen people face when they truly say they want to create a culture that, you know, people gravitate towards, but they just can't figure that out? What are some of those obstacles?
I think the biggest root obstacle is that if you do not have a true belief of your role as the leader is to take all the blame and to give all the success, you're going to have a problem, right? You could be the best painting company, the best drywall company, the best mud jacking company, the best whatever. And yes, you can take all of those accolades because it's your team, your things, it's there, but you can't tell anybody about that. It needs to be the team's. It needs to be their praise, their opportunity, because they're the one in front of the customer. They're the one doing the thing. They're the one putting the hours in and generating the profit and making it happen. You're giving them the tools and resources as such to do so. But when it fails and there's a problem, it can't be, well, Johnny fucked up today. Sorry about that. I'll have to talk to Johnny about it. Nope. hey, sorry, Mr. and Mrs. Customer. Thank you for bringing this awareness. I have a problem. I've created a problem in our system, and I will make sure that we resolve this issue to your satisfaction. And I really appreciate you bringing this up, and we will reevaluate our process to ensure that this variable can't happen again.
Right.
Two very different scenarios there.
Yes.
And your team members need to feel that you got their back, not throw them off the ship.
Correct. So what are some cost-effective methods that you've seen to, or best practices that you've seen people adopt that really helps to minimize this turnover or the churn that people see?
An exceptionally low cost, truly no cash out of pocket, it costs you time, is get out from behind your desk.
What? Get off your ass?
Go, yeah, get off your ass. Do not be a keyboard manager. Do not be a keyboard warrior. Now, you may have, this is a little bit different world. Many of our blue collar industries don't have a lot of remote workforce. But if you are in a manufacturing, if you are an OEM manufacturer, you may have a bunch of remote workforce doing accounting and purchasing functions and other things because you can. Great. Pick up the phone.
Yeah.
Set up the call. Do the thing. Don't just instant message and say, hey, how's it going? And let's have a conversation. Unless that happens to be their preferred methodology of communication. Even though, you get into behaviors and other things, this Zoom call, this opportunity to meet and see face-to-face, to see emotionally what's going on, see the background, watch a kid come into the room and get all upset because, oh, my kid just came into the room and they're doing homework while you're on the call. Nobody's likely going to care. In fact, it's going to create a connection of opportunity with those leaders and employees. Oh, my kids do that all the time. It's okay. No big deal. We were internal. It wasn't external. It wasn't. Right. It was just a simple conversation. It wasn't urgent. It wasn't like, hey, this is a do the right things at the right times, or a dog's barking, or guess what, everybody's got a package from Amazon showing up, fucking dog's gonna bark. No one's gonna soundproof their house from the dog barking or a cat meowing or whatever. But get up and go have conversations. Go have conversations about things. Hey, how's today going? What can I do better for you to have a better day? Oh, can you go talk to Sally about this over in accounting because we really need some support there? Yep, I'll go talk to Sally. Go walk and talk to Sally and say, hey, Sally, Bobby said we need some support over here. Can you give me a person to help with that? Sure, I can do that. No problem. Take away the barriers. And if you can take away the barriers, support them, and allow them to fail without persecution. What?
Fail without persecution. That's a topic for another show.
I'm not going to disagree, but that is a massive opportunity for growth, learning, and creating a organization of peer like feelings versus hierarchical structure.
But that's also more of a growth mindset, right? You can't learn if you don't make mistakes, right? And expecting someone to not make mistakes every time while still learning, right? We've created a fallacy culture where it's now you have a toxic culture.
Correct.
For that reason, everybody's working on an eggshell. So, we'll save that for another show, but yeah, you are absolutely right.
Right. Those would be the things. So anything else in your stay culture that we got to cover before we sign off?
I think we kind of leave it there.
Okay.
So thanks for indulging me in this show.
We are recording Halloween Eve week, weekend of trick or treat Halloween. So what is your Halloween costume there, Mr. Doyle? I know this will air post Halloween, but what is your Halloween costume?
Usually I just go as a grouchy asshole.
Bleached?
Yeah, bleached.
Wow.
Scrooge McDuck, Bah Humbug. That's what I usually go as.
Okay.
And you, Brad?
I'm golfing.
You're golfing.
We're going up to Kohler to the Irish course on a trick or treat Saturday, And then I don't expect to be home until after all the festivities are done in our neighborhoods, because we avoid it like the plague around here.
No, where I go is more of a chauffeur.
We did a ton of stuff. I mean, literally, I would have 40, 50 pumpkins out there that I carved and did the thing and all the lights, all the stuff. It was fantastic. It was awesome. It is my favorite holiday. But then once the kids got older, it's like, okay. And then like, do I really want to do this? I'm good.
No. See, we live where we don't have kids. So out in the woods. Well, so it's kind of nice.
You're in the woods. Freddy Krueger's going to come.
I'm
through.
In the woods.
Go hide in that shed with all the chainsaws. Good idea. Don't hide in the running car. All right. So have a great weekend, sir.
Yeah, you too, my friend.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Blue Collar BS, brought to you by Vision Forward Business Solutions and Professional Business Coaching, Inc. If you'd like to learn more on today's topic, just reach out to Steve Doyle or myself, Brad Herta. Please like, share, rate, and review this show, as feedback is the only way we can get better. Let's keep blue-collar businesses strong for generations to come.